Hey everybody, well let me put my two pence in as well and just say it's great to have you with us in church, great to have you online, so great to have you here in Manchester as well. Wow, you guys look amazing. And I wonder what we're going to do. Is everybody look in this direction of this camera? We have the Reverend Riley Reed over here on camera. And Riley, why don't you just do a pan around? Everybody, just give a wave to this camera over here as it comes past you. Let's welcome Chester today as well. And everybody watching from all around the world. I've had messages already from people in Australia who are watching, Malaysia, in Singapore, in parts of the world. And it's so good to have you with us in church. Now listen, on your way into the locations this morning, Manchester and Chester, you would have received one of these cards, the Disrupt card, and it's talking about five F's. And what we're wanting you to do between now and Christmas is set some new goals for your life in faith, family, friends, fitness, and finance, and put that somewhere where you go every day, where you'll be reminded to pray and to believe God for a breakthrough every day in those areas, the five F's. And we're going to believe that between now and Christmas, we're going to see God do some really remarkable things in our lives. How many of you believe Him for God to do some really amazing things? Come on, if you're watching online, you can give some hand emojis, whatever you need to do there as well. But you know, we're believing that this is going to be a really significant time. Chester, we love you. Why don't you, if you're in Chester right now, just turn in direction of Pastor Mark and Em and Lee and Lysandra and the team. Give them our wave and send them our love there as well. And that's going to be brilliant. Now listen, tonight, just to let you know, that tonight I'm hosting an interview for an hour from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock with three of our board members, all incredibly successful in business, in life. And we're going to be talking about faith for 1 hour. Faith, practical aspects of faith for life. That'll be tonight from 8 to 9 o'clock. Hope you can join us with that online. What we're doing right now is we are starting a new series, and this series is called The Disrupt. The Disrupt. It's such a brilliant name because I think it's time for us to make a decision to be disruptors. And this season, this series is going to explain exactly what we mean. Now, Sophie and I, we live in a certain part of Manchester where recently a new bridge was built. And it took a long time for this bridge to be built. They were doing, creating a new roadway as well. And it literally meant that I'm guessing now, maybe 4, maybe 5 years, we had to put up with horrendous traffic jams. I mean, the traffic was crazy. We would have to leave home at 20 past 7 in the morning in order to drive the kids to school. And then it got to the point where we just said, kids, catch the train, because it was so frustrating. I mean, I only live 7 miles from our central campus here in Manchester, and it would take on a work day well over an hour to drive that distance because of the disruption caused to our lives through roadworks and through a bridge being built. It came very close to the time that the bridge was going to be opened, and a few weeks before it opened, the bridge collapsed. Now let me say that again. We're living in the century that we're living in. The brand new bridge in Greater Manchester, it collapsed before it opened. Of course, there was then an inquest. There was more traffic jams. There was more construction needed. They had to get the engineers in, the people who were suing other people, and all that sort of nonsense, until finally, after about 5 years of disruption, the bridge was finished. It got the okay to open, and then the arguments ensued. The builders were arguing with the council, who were arguing with the owners of the land, and it just seemed like this disruption continued. Meanwhile, off our estate where we live, traffic jams, disruption, and there was a perfectly good bridge that worked that we couldn't access until one young, courageous white van man. Come on, if you love white van men. We don't know what they have in those vans, but how many of you know the United Kingdom runs, it lives and dies on white van men and women, I guess, as well. A white van man got on his phone, he got on FaceTime Live or Facebook Live, and he drove up to where the bollards were, the cones were, and he got the camera and he says, what is wrong with this bridge? Let's see if this bridge works. And so after 5 years of disruption, he decided to disrupt what was taking place in return. He moved the cones, and on Facebook Live, he recorded himself driving across the bridge to the other side. He then got back on Facebook Live. He said, folks, I just want you to know that the bridge is fine. Come on, folks, let's open the bridge. Now, I want you to see what happened, right? There was disruption to our lives for around 5 years. It was insane. There was disruption, and then somebody decided that he would disrupt the disruption, and then within a matter of a few days, everything changed. The traffic began to flow, and we ended up getting out of our state much easier. The traffic was a lot less. Thank God the kids were still catching the train to school, and it was amazing because someone decided to disrupt the disruption. How many of you know that we are in a season of disruption? Now, there are some disruptions in life that are really good. Like, for example, fellas, when your wife comes up to you and says, hey, guess what? We're going to have a baby. You have a momentary, really? And then the disruption to normal life is great because kids are great. I don't know what's happening online, but there's deathly silence in this auditorium. No, believe me, kids are great. Some disruptions are great, like when you're busy working and someone in your house says, hey, dinner's ready. How many of you know that's a good disruption? Right there, and you realize you haven't eaten all day and you're starving. Somebody disrupts you in order to bring something great. Some disruptions are great, like Uber. I love Uber. Airbnb. What a great disruption to the status quo of what used to be the only way we would book and have vacations, et cetera, et cetera. Some disruptions, however, are not welcome. Last month, Sophie and I, we were on holidays with the kids just down in Kent. We had a cottage in Kent. And this house was about 400 years old or so. And we were the first people to use this house post-lockdown. And of course, it seems that during the season of lockdown, that every single spider in Kent decided to nest in that house. There were the mother of all spiders in that house. Biggest spiders I've ever seen in the United Kingdom were in that house. How many of you know some disruptions are not good? Some are good, some are not good. Like the night I was lying in bed reading a book on my Kindle and I felt something touch my arm. And with the light of the Kindle, I shone it on my arm to discover that a spider had dropped from the ceiling onto my arm. How many of you know some disruptions are not good? Oh, come on, people. How many of you know some disruptions are not good? And COVID is a disruption that has not been good. And I think, church, that it is time for the church of God to rise up and make a decision. We choose as Christian men and women of faith that we will disrupt the disruptor. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the spirit of fear that goes along with COVID-19. I'm talking about a spirit of militancy that's going alongside COVID-19. I'm talking about the spirit of isolation and mental health challenges. That it is time for men and women of God to rise up and make a decision that we will disrupt the disruption. We will no longer go with this. Now, here's the danger, right? The danger, can I have some more fallback, please? The danger is this, is that in a season where things are out of control, then what we tend to do, church, and get this, is we tend to want to take control. Let me say that again. In a season when many things are out of control, what we want to do is take control. And I want to suggest to you today that the way we disrupt the spirit of fear that's at work behind COVID-19 is we make a decision not to take control, but let go of control. You say, Glenn, what do you mean? Well, the series is based on Proverbs 28 verse 1 that says this, the wicked man and woman flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I want you to see that. That those who are without God, they run, that they flee, they live in fear of things that are out of control, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. This message today is called this, the roar, R-O-A-R, the roar of availability. And we're going to take today's message from Isaiah chapter 6, and it says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Angels cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Moving forward, woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, God, here am I, send me. Father, I pray in these moments that we have, that Spirit of God, you would do a deep work, that you would disrupt within us the disruption of COVID as we come back to a place of making ourselves available to be used by you in this generation, in our lifetime, in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. I want you to see what's taking place here in Isaiah's life. The first thing that we see in Isaiah chapter 6 is that what Isaiah is doing is this, is that he's learning to take a moment. Because here in Isaiah chapter 6, he is presented with a moment in time. Now let me tell you what that moment in time was. The king, Uzziah, who had just died of leprosy in a hospital bed, had been responsible for bringing peace to the nation for 60 years. And now in this moment of time, as the king lay dying in that hospital bed and now is dead, the Assyrians, the arch enemies, were massing a massive amount of troop on the border, ready to invade the land. And so the people of God were considering going back into slavery. They were thinking to themselves, it would be better that we are back in Egypt as slaves than be in the current predicament that we find ourselves in. And I want to say, isn't it crazy what things come to mind when we find ourselves in moments when we are oppressed on every side? I am sure that you, like me, have been in moments during lockdown over the season where crazy thoughts have come to your mind. Crazy things out of kilter have come to mind, but the Bible says that in this place, at this time, Isaiah chose to have a moment. Audacious Church, I want to encourage you, it's time to have a moment. It's time right now, today, we're going to have a moment. That wherever you're watching from, in Chester, in your house, it's time to have a moment, because it's moments that change lives. Moments shape destiny. Moments in time. And what you do in those moments dictate and determine whether you will go into thriving mode or surviving mode. And how many of you know, come on church, how many of you know that God doesn't just want you to survive, he wants you to be men and women who thrive in life. The wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We're choosing today to have a moment to disrupt the disruption of COVID. Fear, no longer do you have me. Militancy behind the scenes, no longer will you quash me. We're actually making a decision to rise in faith today. This is the moment. Moments change lives. The moment I met Sophia, Alicia, Broda, it was a moment, but it changed my life. And I want you to know, moments change lives. When I was 12, I had an encounter with God. That moment changed my life. Isaiah has a moment, but as we go on here, he says, in this moment when Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Oh my gosh. What would happen, church? What would happen across the world if men and women of God, righteous men and women, made a decision, we're going to see the Lord? Have you seen social media? Have you seen the arguments over Trump and Biden? Have you seen Christians falling out? Have you seen society is going crazy? Have you seen on one side there's a report about COVID and on the other there's another argument? Have you seen these crazy things going on? And just like Isaiah was in a moment where everybody was seeing the natural. They saw the king was dead. They saw the Assyrians were on the border. They saw fear and slavery in their future. But Isaiah said, hang on a minute. I'm not just going to focus on what I see in the natural. I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to see into the heavenlies, because the Bible says that he didn't just look at the circumstances around him, he saw the Lord. Church, what would it look like for you to see the Lord? Oh my gosh, in the middle of your challenge, what would it look like to see the Lord? Oh, we get caught up seeing the stuff, but he saw the Lord. Oh, my encouragement today, church, is to see the Lord. See the Lord. I think I told you this story many years ago when my son was small. I reckon he was maybe 3, 4, something like that. He was in the lounge room of our house here in Manchester, and he was rolling a little ball across the floor and trying to get the ball into the cup. And he kept missing. And Sophie was there, and they were rolling the ball and missing the cup. And I heard these oohs and ahs coming from our lounge area. So I put my head in and said, what's happening? And Jaden said, Dad. He said, I'm trying to get the ball in the cup, but I can't get it in the cup. Dad, can you get the ball in the cup? And I thought, this is the chance for me to be my son's hero. You know, men, when you're walking through a park and you're just minding your own business, walking the dog, and there's kids on the field playing football, and the football comes towards you, and then the pressure's on. You know that moment where the pressure's on for you to put a good kick back, and if you do it, you feel like the man of men. And I remember getting on my knees to roll the ball into the cup, praying desperately, God, help this ball roll straight and true in Jesus' name. And I rolled the ball, and my wife, and I don't know if my son remembers, but my wife will testify that first time the ball went in the cup. Oh yeah, I was the dad of dads. I stood up, I took my shirt off, I swung it around my head, I ran around the round, I jumped on the floor, my son jumped on me, and JD said, Dad, how do I get the ball in the cup? I said, simple, son. Don't aim for the cup, but look at a point beyond the cup in a straight line and then roll the ball. And my son, first time, he gets that little ball, he rolls the ball that 15 feet or 20 feet, whatever it was, and first time it went straight in the cup. You know what he did? He stood up, he took his shirt off, he spun it around his head, he fell on the floor, and I fell on him. But that's exactly what's playing out in Isaiah. Everyone's looking at the natural. Everyone's looking at the cup. Everyone's looking at the challenge. But the Bible says that Isaiah looked a little bit further. He looked a little bit higher, and he didn't see fear. He didn't see militancy. He didn't see mental breakdown, health challenges. He didn't see family breakup. He didn't see furlough schemes coming to an end and financial challenges. You know what he did, church? What he did is he looked a little bit higher, and surprise, surprise, my friend, he saw the Lord still on the throne, still high and lifted up, with the angels crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I want to suggest it's time today that we have a moment where we stop to take a look. Oh, what are you looking at? He here in this passage, he measured himself. He said, woe am I. Woe, who am I? He measured himself according to God, and he found that he in himself was lacking. And friend, I want you to know that probably what's happened during this whole season of COVID is that we've found ourselves lacking. We've reached a point probably in this season of getting to the end of ourselves, getting to a place where we don't realize all my plans, everything I looked forward to in 2020, all the things that were on the horizon, I've measured myself against all of that, and I realize I don't even come close. I've been measured, weighed, and found wanting. And I want you to know, Audacious Church, that if in this season you find yourself at a place where it feels like you're unqualified or you're not the right choice, then probably you've got the right measure of yourself. But I want to thank God that there's more than just me and myself going on here today. I want to thank God that in your life, there's more than just you and your bank balance going on. Come on, somebody. I want to thank God that in this nation, there's more at work than just our politicians and the economists and the employers. I want to thank God that behind the scenes, there's still a God who's high and lifted up. And in my season of lack and in my season of challenge, and I want you to know that at home right now where you are, in your season of lack, there is still a God where you measure yourself and you think, I can't do this. No, you can't, but there's someone who can. Come on, church, there's someone who can. There's someone who can. There's someone who can come through. There's someone who can break through for you. There's someone who can make a way. Oh, the wicked man flees though no one pursues, but the righteous, we're not going to cower in fear anymore. We're going to stand up on the inside. We make a decision in faith that we will worship God. We will be men and women of faith. Let me say this to everybody watching. If you can go to Tesco, you can go to church. I want you to know that if you can walk through the malls of our nation, then you can do more than just watch church online, even though that's brilliant. I want you to know that as churches across our nation begin to open up, it's time to get back into the house of God. There is a God in heaven waiting for you. He measured. Oh, I love what it says here. It says here, Isaiah says, and then I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard, what are you listening to? What are you listening to? Now, I have had to make a deliberate choice in this season that there are some voices I will listen to and some I won't. There are some people on social media that I will block because it's really important in times of challenge who you listen to. I'll make no mistake, I read the news every morning, every night. I'm on three different websites, reading news, reading current affairs, reading the popularist news, and then researching the other side of the story as well. But our church, to actually be men and women of God who make a decision to listen. What's God saying to you? To listen to what God's saying. To listen to the right voices. Because he says here, I heard the voice of the Lord. You know what you need, people of God? You need your spirit to hear the voice of God. Without the voice of God, your spirit begins to act like a man or a woman in a desert without water. It's like the spirit man, the spirit woman begins to dry up on the inside, but my gosh, when you begin to hear his voice again. Some of you during the season got addicted to Netflix and laid down your Bible. Some of us during the season forgot about our worship to the God Almighty and we allowed money to become the worship center of our lives. Some of us allowed God to sit on the sidelines while we allowed the voice of fear to rule the day. But I promise you, Audacious Church, I promise you, men and women of God, that when you begin to hear once again the voice of God, when you begin to listen through all the clamor and all the crowd and all the near noise of media, and the Spirit of God begins to speak and your spirit begins to listen, something begins to happen on the inside. It's like a man or a woman in a desert who hasn't touched water for days, and all of a sudden you come to an oasis and there is the sweetest water. Oh, I want you to know that the fifth thing that happens here in this is that he decided to speak a word. Because he says here in the Bible, he says, not only did he hear the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? He says, but I said, I spoke a word. I spoke a word. And the amount of times over the life of Audacious Church that we have spoken on the power of our words. Friend, I want you to know that your words create your future world. Your words prophesy a future world. He said he spoke in line with what he heard. I don't know, you've probably seen the Netflix shows. You've probably seen shows in the media portraying church, the name it and claim it, the blab it and grab it. We're not that kind of church. I'll tell you what the kind of church we are. We're the type of church that listen. We hear what God is saying. And then we speak what God is saying. That's not name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. That is the world of the righteous. You see, the wicked man flees though no one pursues, but the righteous stand up and begin to roar. The righteous stand up and say, I'm going to speak the words of life. I'm going to speak the words of God. I'm going to speak what God is speaking in this situation. My friend, whatever you do in your situation, don't speak the negativity of media. Don't speak negative statistics. Say, you know what? But the righteous. I will run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free, the Bible says. Surely the boundaries have fallen for me in pleasant places. Friend, that's what you need to be speaking over your life. In Jesus' name. He says, then I spoke. And then I love how this finishes here. In this passage, he says, and I said, here I am. Here am I, send me. In this moment of what was as disastrous for the people there as COVID-19 has been to our economy, in a moment where the spirit of fear and what if ruled the day, Isaiah reached a moment having heard, and now he spoke. And he said, Lord, I'll take a walk. Wherever you want me to go and whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you. Lord, in this season of lockdown, in this season when things in the natural are against me, I choose to take my hands off the situations that I'm trying to control. And I say to you, Lord, here I am. Send me. Joshua put it this way. Choose today whom you will serve. Whether it's the God of your forefathers who served those false gods on the other side. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, my dad, he grew up in an atheistic home. My granddad was part of the Communist Party of Wales, Socialist Party of Wales. My dad was raised on the teachings of Friedrich Nietzsche, Karl Marx. But then one day, my dad, at the age of 12, he said, having had a moment where he took a look, he measured himself, found that he was wanting without. And he listened and he spoke a word. And at the age of 12, in a home of staunch atheists, my dad said, here I am, God, send me. He said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And what a joy it was for me to grow up in that house. We didn't have any money, but we had love and we had faith and we had a household that roared, here I am, send me. You see, I was raised in that house, and maybe you too have been raised in a Christian household where someone in your house, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord, and that's fantastic. But there comes a time for you as an individual, a moment where you make, irregardless of what's happening in the community, where you actually make a decision for yourself. Here I am. Send me. Lord, I'll walk for you. I'll take a walk. Where are you going to send me? What are you going to do? Where am I going to go? What's my life going to look like? And it was really easy praying that prayer as a 12-year-old boy, but I didn't know in fact what that meant and where these steps would take me. In his heart, a man plans his steps, but thank God it's the Lord who determines their course, that when you roar availability, say, God, here I am. Send me. What would it look like, church, today for you and I to take hands off the reins for a moment? Take your hands off your budget. Take your hands off your decision-making. Take your hands off the restrictions and the control that you're trying to bring to a society that is seemingly out of control. The disruption. How do we disrupt the disruption? Simple. God, you're good. You're great. I have more questions than I have answers. But one thing I do know is here I am. Send me. That prayer is going to change your life. Right now, that prayer is going to change your life. That when you make a decision, friend, to resign as the CEO of your own world, and you pass that responsibility back to God, God, I'm not in control, you are. Here I am, here's my life. Here's my words. Here's my social media account. Here's my bank account. Here's my family. Here's my friendships. Here's my worship. Here's my church. Everything that I have and all that I am and all that I will ever be, Lord, I offer it back to you. For the greatest thing that we can do right now, we speak a word that says, here I am. Send me. Right now in Manchester, there are people already standing on their feet with their hands raised. Maybe in Chester, you want to join us in this moment of surrender to God. In that Chester location, why don't you stand as well? Lift your hands to heaven. If you're at home, you can join us in this moment of surrender as well. And all around, wherever you're watching this, and here in Manchester, if you're prepared to pray this prayer of availability, I want you to pray this after me. Dear God, come on, I think you can speak a little bit louder. Dear God, I give you this moment. And I'll admit, I've been listening to negative voices. I've tried to take more control. But thank you for this moment. As we roar our availability. God, I ask you to take my life, all that I am, all that I will ever be. Use me for your purpose. I'm sorry, God. I've been holding on too tight. Thank you for today's word. I recalibrate my spirituality. I'm putting you central. Give me faith, increased confidence, incredible wisdom. Lord, today I choose to disrupt the disruption. I give you control. I trust you. In Jesus' name. Now with every head bowed and every eye closed across this auditorium. At home as well in this moment. Father, I pray for every single individual battling with mental health challenges right now. Mental ill health. God of heaven and earth, the God who knows us so well. Lord, I pray that even right now, you would breathe life, peace, wholeness, and joy into every heart that is sad. Lord, I pray that right now, for those who've lost relationship, loved ones, whatever that may be, may you be the companion to those who are isolated and grieving right now. Wonderful God of heaven above, thank you for your word. We choose not to be part of the wicked, but we choose to be righteous, knowing that today you've called us to be as bold as a lion. in Jesus' name. Amen.